Philip J. Hirschkopf is a lawyer in Alexandria, Virginia. He calls himself a constitutional lawyer. Other people call him a radical lawyer or a movement lawyer. He's an attorney for Abby Hoffman, H. Rapp Brown, and the Mayday Tribe, among others. Susan Stamberg spent a day with him at the end of July to get an idea of a day in the life of a radical lawyer.
I wait until my clients come in a few minutes. They'll think this is insanity. They won't talk to me. I got a sensitive case coming. Okay, and where were we in that letter? Type that up. Type a letter to Dick Kavaljan. Dear Dick, I have your
letter. Okay, don't be going too long. I have
a lot of my personal bills out of a regular account. You have H-I-R.
Well, listen. He's medium height, dark haired, with a neatly trimmed beard. He looks like a nice Jewish boy from Brooklyn, which is exactly what he is. He was born there 35 years ago. Hirschkopf started off wanting to be a patent lawyer, and he was a law student working at the U.S. Patent Office when the idea of practicing another kind of law came up. At a cocktail party in 1963, a professor of his said that he was going south the next day on a case involving picketing to integrate a library. The professor asked Hirschkopf to go along, and he did, for a lark. In Danville, Virginia, he met William Kunstler, and that meeting changed his life. On the day I spent with Hirschkopf, I kept my tape recorder running for 5 hours. What you're about to hear is a distillation of those hours. I found that Philip Hirschkopf is a very busy man.
It's urgent I reach him, find out where it can be. I bear no love for the client, but I'm perfectly willing to represent and service them fully. Pop Nancy in here, let the clients wait a minute. Go ahead and pay my life insurance. I have your letter of July 27th. I need to take that with me to court when I see Brad Little today. 5-5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
A lot of my personal
name is Mr. Hirschkopf.
This young lady is taping for a show. Anything you tell me will be confidential. I won't let her use it unless we agree that she uses it. Do you mind or should I have her turn the tape recorder off?
I don't think this is worthy of being recorded.
It's worthy of making you cry for a couple of days. It's worthy of being recorded. Listen now, on Brad Little's case, pardon me, on Brad Little's case, these are all the witnesses I come up with. Call up ABC, Bill Bell, and I want to find out who the film crew was for ABC. Also call up this guy at Life magazine.
We have some of the Life pictures, don't we?
Dick Swanson, we don't know. See if his pictures came in yet. I'm going to court on that. We'll leave here around 12:45 for court.
Okay, are we going to go over this in the car then?
Yeah, you're going to tell me what the hell argue in the car. Is it very complicated?
I think so.
Oh, good. 20 minutes will do fine.
Okay, you want to talk to each of these
Ben
people
Ben Spock
yourself?
Needs 5 days notice. He's on vacation. I don't know how we'll fly Ben back.
Do you want to talk to each of those people yourself?
Well, Swanson you can talk to. If those photos are in, we'll leave a little early. I must see the Time magazine, the Life magazine photos. All right, tell me exactly what happened. Do you have any documents? Do you have the application?
They wouldn't give it back to me.
Okay. Did you apply in your maiden name?
I applied originally in my maiden name.
Bob Bell, please. Phil Hirschkopf. Listen, what camera crews were out where on May Day? That's what I'm trying to run down. Was Brad Little. Now, Ben Spock was there, and David Ifshin of NSA was there also. Some of your people were positive you had footage of Ben. Ben got arrested shortly after that at a virtually the same place. So, if it's... Sure. Okay, could you call me back? We're just trying to interview them to... find out if it's what happened. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. We would probably, let me save a lot of time, we'd probably be more than willing to file suit on your behalf. Are you willing?
Yes, I just wanted to talk to you to find out if it were possible to do that. I don't know anything about law, so...
Mr. Swanson? Just one moment for Mr. Hirschkopf. Swanson on 5-1.
How long have you been his secretary?
Was 4 years, May 1. I see him between 8 in the morning and 9, and late at night. As a person, he's one of the most remarkable men I know. He's very dedicated as a lawyer. He's very honest and very ethical. As a lawyer, I think he's one of the best. He believes in what he does. Rarely does he go against his own beliefs, which is unusual in a lawyer.
And yet he represents clients like the American Nazi Party.
They deserve representation, and he believes in that every man deserves representation.
There's an awful lot of flamboyance and theatricality to him.
I think you'll find those same traits in any attorney. You just walk in the courtroom, and the lawyers are like actors.
It's a flim-flam man.
Who is on the phone?
That guy, Ron Bailey.
Oh, hello? Hi, Phil Hirschkopf in Washington. Listen, I desperately need your help. And I understand what the policy is, and as a civil libertarian, I'm not going to try and violate your policy. How would it be if we subpoenaed the film? I just talked to Dick Swanson. He took frames of Brad Little's arrest. The Internal Security Division is prosecuting an assault on the police officer against Brad Little. And it's just the most bogus prosecution I've ever seen. Your films probably will totally disprove the police officer's statement. And, you know, they're it. The guy could get 5 years in jail based on... Now, I understand you guys don't want to choose sides, prosecution or defense. I'm wondering, could at least the frames be transmitted to Swanson immediately so I could look at them? There may be no use to us at all, and that would end it. I just want to view them at this moment. Problem is that they don't want to be caught in the middle of prosecutions. They don't want the government dragging in reporters. But we've got a guy, and they've got film, which will completely disprove assault on the police officer, assault with a deadly weapon, assault on the police officer with a deadly weapon. I mean, a guy can get 60 years in jail, totally innocent. Yeah, Dave Ifshin, Ben Spock, there are all sorts of witnesses, but I don't want to take a chance. It's a cop's word against their word. Brad Little, about 40, late 30s. He's probably the lead pacifist in the United States. He spent years in jail because of his pacifism. There's no chance in the whole world he would ever assault a policeman. And the cop who's involved is being sued for messing over a kid. Yeah, this is Phil Hirschkopf. I'm an attorney in Washington, D.C. We've got a problem down here. One of the leaders of the People's Coalition involved in May Day, who's lead pacifist in the country, is being charged with assaulting a police officer. One of your reporters was on a scene and took actual footage of the arrest. I talked to Dick Swanson. He's willing to let me see the footage. He took it. He's here in your Washington bureau. Yeah. But I realize I'm a member of the National Board of the ACLU, and I realize these problems about invading the press. Yeah. Okay, let me say one further thing, that, you know, I've exchanged favors with your news reporters down here before. I handled the Loving case, the big mixed marriage case, several years ago, and they asked me for a lot of things which I gave them, and I've represented May Day and the others, and I've always managed to do favors for him when we had to. I'm favor the press. I'm a friend of the press. And I'm the first time I've come back and asked for a favor in return. But this guy's facing 30 years in jail on a purely bum prosecution. Bradford Little, L-Y-T-T-L-E, he's with the War Resisters League. He's probably the lead pacifist in the United States. Yeah. He was one of the two co-directors of the People's Coalition for Peace and Justice, which, you know, staged most of the demonstrations the week before May Day. Phil Hirschkopf, H-I-R-S-C-H-K-O-P. R-S-C-H-K-O-P. At any rate, I'm going to a hearing on this case right now, a motion hearing. Apparently, are you a lawyer? Okay, well, the Internal Security Division sent a bunch of lawyers before the grand jury without authority in this case. We're trying to quash it on that. So I have a hearing on that. I'll be back in office around 3:30.
I'm law school, and during school hours work part-time doing legal research, and during the summer working full-time.
Do you do all of his research between you and the other clerks?
No, he does some himself. occasionally. I don't know how he has time to do everything he does, let alone research.
How many clerks are there altogether?
During the year, we have two.
I'll sit there next to him and go over what I've kind of outlined.
Tell the judge I'm not coming. He screw up if he don't like it.
It's a very technical motion. That's what's worrying me, because it's very complicated, and he's never, you know, he's reviewed it, but it was ages ago. Very complicated. It involves special authorization from Kleindienst.
It's 1:30, Nance.
Oh, no wonder. I'm getting ulcers that it's 1 o'clock.
I got help.
Legal or contract?
Legal.
Okay. Why are you singing that song all day?
What?
Why are you singing that song, Flim Flam Man, all day?
Because I heard it on radio this morning and I liked it.
But it's about a shifty, dishonest guy.
No, I like Flim Flam Man. They're really where our society's at. Come on, you. You know where we're going, don't you? Life magazine.
You mean we can look at it?
We're looking at it right now. Where do you think we're going? All right, Nancy, stop briefing me for the argument.
There are four different statutes, Phil. There is no statute that says an unauthorized attorney doesn't go before it. The law says that.
What does the law say? Do you have that law?
Yeah, listen, just listen.
Do you notice that it's a 35 mile zone, you're going 60?
I'm doing 35, my speedometer. Come on, where are you, Susan? Do you believe I was raised in the country? Yeah, I'm a country boy.
Where were you raised?
Hightstown, New Jersey. So I was just a city slicker. I'm just a country lawyer. Plying my wares. How else are we doing, Nancy? Where are the four statutes? So far, you've only read me two statutes. You wait out here with that. Phil Hirschkopf. Turn that thing off, will you?
What happened?
We viewed the photographs. We have a photograph of people who were there at the arrest. One of them was in the office. We found another witness.
But did the photograph show what you wanted them to?
We're not sure. We're sending to New York for blow-ups and getting them back. They're tiny prints and... we're not sure. I've talked to Brad again. The exact moment of the arrest has to be determined.
Did you say you were meeting Brad at 1?
Yeah, at the interns. We're going to be late, right?
Right.
Okay. It could be the end of the case. It's not likely. It's a very conservative judge. I don't think he'll rule in our favor no matter what we show. He probably made his decision before we ever got there.
What happened with the motion for disbarment?
There was a panel of judges appointed, and they've held a hearing, and they're now deciding what to do. So they're not going to disbar me. It's ridiculous. It's really the world versus Judge Pratt. He lost his head. He lost his cool, and he felt personally offended, and he abused his powers. And now they're trying to get him out of it. That was a DC-9 trial. Priests and nuns had broken to Dow Chemicals. I was discourteous to him. He didn't like the way I talked to him. I told him he would disqualify himself because he made up his mind, which he had made up.
Did that make you watch yourself in any way, though, since?
No, I've done a thing different than I've done before. You got to understand Pratt. He's anti-Semitic. He's anti-black people. He belongs to a segregated country club. He doesn't make any bones about his deep-seated prejudices. I come from a different lifestyle that he couldn't tolerate.
If I broadcast what you just said, couldn't he sue you for slander or libel?
Nah, truth is a defense.
Will they let me take the recorder into the Superior Court?
Into the court, but you can't take it to the courtroom. You'll probably take it up to the hallway outside the courtroom, which is right up there. Then they got you reach a corner, and they got these cops pushing you back. The bullhorn is up on your shoulder. It shows a tumble from your shoulder. And then they have you stand there, and there's the cops pushing into you guys and push you back. Everyone's on a street corner. The next sequence has you standing back under a tree, and they lose you there. Now, we don't know if the alleged assault occurs on a street corner or when the cops come up and grab you from behind. Are you sure they came up and grabbed you from behind?
Yeah.
But he thought the assault occurred on the corner there.
Well, that's where I was arrested.
On the corner? No, but there are shots afterwards which show you still standing with the bullhorn hanging from your shoulder.
Well, you see, we were originally went up to the corner, tried to get into the street, sit down. We were pushed back then.
Yeah.
Then I turned around and marshaled the people with the bullhorn, trying to get them back into the line. And then while I was doing that, then they jumped me and arrested me.
Now, but the question is, where does the assault occur? At the corner or when they jumped and arrested you?
Well, I don't know. They haven't specified that. I don't know where they think it occurred.
That would be the only time you had the bullhorn up above your shoulder, right? At the corner.
No, I used it a lot of times. Up around the corner, yes.
No, but she held it on your shoulder.
Yeah, I did that a great deal.
Okay.
But isn't that what they're supposed to reveal?
Yeah, Susan, I don't want to get trouble with this.
Hirschkopf's presentation in court wasn't terribly effective. He stumbled over the numbers of the sections he was trying to cite to the judge. He toned down quite a bit. The judge seemed to watch the prosecuting attorney much more carefully and nod his head a great deal more when he spoke than when Hirschkopf spoke. The judge's decision was to refuse the motion. So Hirschkopf lost this point.
Here he comes.
I am going to the bathroom.
Wonderful.
You and that tape recorder aren't going to the bathroom with me when I go to the bathroom. And from there, we're going to get a sandwich, because among the many functions I perform, I eat.
So the judge did what you predicted he'd do.
Oh, without a question. It was no use going there making long arguments when it's a foregone conclusion.
How do you react to this, though? You're putting in an awful lot of time, which you could predict would be wasted effort.
It's all, you know, building an end result.
Yesterday, Hirschkopf won the Brad Little case. There was a new judge, new evidence, including the Life magazine photographs, and the charges of assault were dismissed. Tomorrow, he goes to Roanoke to represent a college teacher who claims he's being punished by his college for writing a letter to the editor of Red Book magazine, praising an article they'd published on premarital sex. Philip Hirschkopf is a very busy man. This is Susan Stamberg.